This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we're joined now by John Schneider, the veteran actor who is living in beautiful Holden, Louisiana, and has many new endeavors as he approaches his 60th birthday in great physical condition and in his prime in many ways, a career that has spanned now four decades. And good morning to you, John Schneider.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, you know, I feel in almost every regard like I'm just getting started.
Well, you've got
finally got traction.
Well, you've got a book, a movie, and a hit song. So, my goodness, you're a busy fellow.
I know, it's just wild. You know, the amazing thing about the hit song is that a friend of mine who I travel with, I tour with quite a bit. He's played concerts at the studio there in Holden. Is Cody McCarver, formerly of Confederate Railroad. So he called one day and said, "Hey, I'm doing a album of duets. Would you come sing a duet with me?" And I said, "Well, absolutely." So I came in and I sang, and then I kind of forgot about it. And now his team has run with this song, and as we are talking right now, it's the number one song in the country on the Christian country charts, and now my fifth number one song. And the only reason I bring that up is I didn't do anything except sing it. I didn't push it. I didn't try. I didn't promote it. Nothing.
Well, so, you had a remarkable...
I'm overthinking the rest of it.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, you had a substantial musical career, but you gave it up right in prime time. You had, I think, four number one country songs. Why did you relinquish that? Most people would milk that for all it's worth.
Well, I'm a... When the label was less than honest with me, I'm not someone who, what would my dad say? I'm not someone who suffers fools, or at least people who I perceive as fools. So if someone is in the process of taking my fun away, I mean, I do this because I love it, and I've always loved it. I started at 8 years old, and I just love it. It makes me happy. It makes me smile. And Alicia and I have built a wonderful thing out in Holden. But when somebody is not honest with me, and if I have the opportunity or availability to as I say, take my toys and leave the sandbox, I will. So I did. In those days, we had just started doing digital recording, and we just started using samples and all sorts of things like MIDI had just been introduced into the music business. And we did some rather forward-thinking music, and folks, you can listen to it. It was the last album I did, I think it was 87 or 88, was called You Ain't Seen the Last of Me. And it sounds pretty much like something that's on the radio today. But when I went out to tour with it, the label decided they weren't going to spend any additional money on changing the advertising of it, so I looked kind of foolish. They were advertising a kind of a slow country Merle Haggard sort of a sound, and I was out there doing more of a southern rock thing. And I came back and said, "Guys, you know, we talked about this. I didn't do this alone, and you had promised you were going to change everything behind it, so I wouldn't feel foolish." And they said, "Well, you know, John, we listened and we decided it really wasn't that different after all." Well, what I read in there was that they were going back on their word. They didn't want to spend the money, and they just kind of let me hang out to dry. So I picked up my toys and my little pink shovel and my little bucket, and I left. And didn't come back for over 30 years.
Yeah, more
than... Now I'm back, and they're gone.
32 years later, you've got a song just, top of the charts.
So you outlast them. There's the key. Outlast the enemy.
Well, you're also on the big screen in Christmas Cars. What's going on with this film?
Oh, this film is so great. We are celebrating our 40th anniversary of Dukes of Hazzard. So I had some pretty rough times out in Holden there over the last couple of years after the floods. You know, we were flooded twice in 2016. And Alicia has the ability to see things that I don't see. And she said, you know, it's the 40th anniversary of Dukes. Why don't you take the things, good and bad, the floods, the finance, the sheriff sales? She said, that all sounds like an episode of Dukes of Hazzard. Why don't you do a 40th anniversary tribute Christmas screenplay about the Dukes, and we'll film it this summer, and this is what she was saying in the beginning of this year, beginning of 2019, and we'll put it out for Christmas. Well, that's exactly what we did. So Christmas Cars celebrates all things Dukes of Hazzard. I play Uncle Denver in honor of Denver Pyle, who played my Uncle Jesse. And we go through a bit of a mess when someone on the internet says that because the rebel flag is on the top of my car, that I am an intolerant racist. So people should ban me and boycott me and have nothing to do with me, which actually has happened. And then we have our financial issues with regard to missing a balloon payment. And it really is. It's so much like an episode of Dukes. But I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if it weren't for selling a wonderful amount of die-cast Bose General Lee cars, all would be lost. So in this instance, I've actually done that too. So it's autobiographical. It's feels, smells, pace. The pace of it is like an episode of Dukes, and the thousands of people now who've seen it, which is great news for us because we're independent. All of them have said, you know, this makes me feel exactly like I did when I first saw the Dukes of Hazzard on my grandparents' couch Friday night in 1979. Right. And that was our goal. So we've reached it. And people are buying just before you called. My phone dings every time someone buys it, kind of like every time an angel gets its wings. And it's a wonderful life. My phone will ding, and my phone's been dinging all morning because people continue to buy the DVD for great Christmas presents.
Okay, well, as a son of Mount Kisco, New York, John, I'm sure you would acknowledge that I believe you. You're not a racist, as far as I know. I don't think that's the case. But that flag is offensive to a lot of people. How do you get past that?
Well, the flag is also not offensive to a lot of people. I don't believe that we have to change everything we do in order to not offend anyone. I don't think it's possible not to offend anyone. My dad taught me actually that if everyone agrees with you, then you're probably lying.
Well, that may be true, but that flag for some people stood as a symbol of segregation and discrimination, and that in our country I think is unacceptable. So maybe some people have a point when they say that it would be better if we didn't see that flag very much anymore.
Well, but I don't think they have a point when they go back into history and say that the Dukes of Hazzard was a intolerant, racist television show because of that flag. I think Dukes of Hazzard then becomes a victim of collateral damage. I think it becomes, I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's right. And I don't think it's right for someone to tell me what I believe because of my car or the flag on my car, especially since that flag on that car or that car and that show was so beloved for so long. I don't think that's right, and I don't think that I won't bow down to someone telling me I must think this way because of the car. I know how I think, and there's not a racist bone in my body. I also have bed sheets. Doesn't mean I'm a Klansman.
You're a conservative guy, though.
Yes, sure.
And there is great division in our country.
There's great division now, more division now than ever.
Right. Well, as far as we know,
I think a lot of people are making a lot of money on that division, especially the racial division.
But it's real. There's no doubt that it's real.
I don't see it. I see it more now than ever before. I think you see in the world what you look for. I see members of the TSA, black women, white women, black men, white men, walking arm in arm off to a break, laughing together. I see people of all colors opening doors for people of all colors and laughing and enjoying
I think community. You're exactly right, but I think we probably should acknowledge that we've got a few more miles to travel before we reach equality
country. We have to stop going backwards first. I would love to think we have a few more miles to travel forward, but I think the actions of some people over the last 5, 6, 10 years have caused us to go backwards. I do not think we are moving forwards in any regard with regard to our racial discrimination.
Do you think our president, John, do you think our president of the United States is uniting our country or dividing it, or he's just there?
Oh, me, I think he's uniting it.
Do you think he's uniting it? He's uniting parts of it, but I think he's dividing other parts.
Well, I think there are parts that will always want to be divided. There are the squeaky wheel folks. There are lots of, again, if everyone agrees with you, then you are lying.
Well, so, and wouldn't that be true, say, of people on the other side, like Speaker Pelosi?
Tell me that again.
Well, some people would believe she's a unifier, but obviously, in some cases, her political foes believe she's dividing the country. We're about to go to a break. If you can hang with us, I sure would appreciate it.
Sure,
you'll return with the remarkable John Schneider. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with John Schneider, the actor, singer, producer, and author, who is with us talking about his varied activities, which continue as he approaches his 60th birthday in April. His film, Christmas Cars, is out and about, and we were talking about the flag issue, which is addressed in there, and whether or not in our country today we're being insensitive to the other side and perhaps too sensitive to something that offends what we believe in. And John said that he thinks our president is doing his best to unite the country. Now, others would take exception, but does it necessarily mean that if you're a supporter of the president, as I suspect you are, John, that others who disagree with him are dividing the country, or is it just a matter of a difference in points of view? What do you think?
I believe it's a difference in points of view. See, I've always been taught, and I've always believed that if you and I disagree, it doesn't mean that you are wrong and I'm right. It means we disagree. It doesn't mean we can't be friends. It doesn't mean we can't hang out. But it seems to me that lately, and this goes back to the division, it seems to me that lately there is a tendency on one side, and I'll say it's the other side. There's a tendency for my liberal friends not to want to grant me the leeway of having a different opinion. In their mind, and this is not every one of them, but I do honestly feel that more of them than my conservative friends will say, well, if you don't agree with me, then you're an idiot. My God, how can you feel that way? How can you be so stupid? How can you be so blind? And that's not really what my conservative friends say. It's kind of I go back to fairness. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's right. Just because we disagree doesn't mean I'm an idiot.
Well,
it means I have a different opinion. You know, I have a different life. I've lived a different life. I've made different observations than you have, but that's okay. It makes for good conversation, or at least it used to. Now it seems to make for division and argumentative discourse, and I don't understand why that's happened. That's why I think we've moved backwards. And it's not just black and white. It's white and white. It's black and black. It's Republican and Democrat. It's left and right. It's all that. I mean, we have more speak of us and them than I ever recall having in my life, and I'm about to be 60. And I think that's a dangerous place to be.
Well, John, thank you for making Louisiana your home, and happy 60th.
Love Louisiana.
In a few months, and happy holidays to you and Alicia. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so very, very much. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we're joined now by Sasha Thackaberry, who is with LSU Online for a few moments. We'll talk with her. And for those unfamiliar, Sasha, about what you do with LSU Online, you're involved in various endeavors. Tell us about a few of them that are first and foremost right now.
Thank you for having me. Well, our big endeavors right now are we are launching a bunch of new online degrees at the undergraduate level. We also have degrees at the graduate level. And then one of the really innovative things we're doing is we have what we call micro-creds, which are shorter learning experiences available online that can stack into degrees. So we're creating a really wide portfolio of options, a lot more in technology, project management, and then also the humanities. So really creating a portfolio that has something for everyone who wants to be an LSU grad.
You have an event of sorts that I understand is forthcoming. Can you tell us about this?
So we are actually having a celebration today for our LSU Online students. So many of them actually fly in to participate in graduation. They get the same diploma as everyone else. And we're having a fantastic event for them at the Stadium Club, right at the stadium. So they'll get to come down and have the full Tiger experience and meet their learning concierges, who've been supporting them through their programs, as well as their amazing faculty. So we're really doing the kind of red carpet experience for them, because for many of them, this is maybe the only time they're going to come to Baton Rouge during their degree. And some come in from halfway around the world. We had some folks fly in from Japan last year and all around the country. People love LSU.
It is graduation day, and before we part, a listener asks about the billboards that are around town. Fierce finishes the degree. What is the meaning behind that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. So Fierce finishes the degree is really our call to action for all of the folks out there who started a degree and never were able to finish because life happens. And so now these folks are generally working, a little bit older, they have kids, and they really need to go back and finish that degree to get that promotion or to switch careers. And so this is that challenge. Fierce finishes the degree is really all about empowering folks in Louisiana to come back and finish. There's a lot of, I think it's about 450,000 folks now, maybe a little bit more in Louisiana, who have not been able to finish that undergrad, and we want to welcome them back to do that.
Well, we commend you for what you're doing, and thank you for joining us, Sasha Thackaberry, who's involved intricately in LSU Online. Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. And as we finish out the hour, it's notable that this is the week that the President of the United States was impeached by the House of Representatives. 230 votes for one article of impeachment, 229 for another. And Donald John Trump has called this a hoax, and others agree with him, almost all the Republicans. In fact, every Republican in the House voted to protect the president, including our congressmen, Garrett Graves, Ralph Abraham, Steve Scalise, Mike Johnson, Clay Higgins. They're all on the Trump train. But here is Donald Trump himself, just 11 years ago, talking glowingly about Speaker Nancy Pelosi and hoping that she would lead the charge to impeach George W. Bush. Here he is with Wolf.
Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker?
Well, you know, when she first got in and was named Speaker, I met her, and I'm very impressed by her. I think she's a very impressive person. I like her a lot. But I was surprised that she didn't do more in terms of Bush and going after Bush. It was almost, it just seemed like she was going to really look to impeach Bush and get him out of office, which personally I think would have been a wonderful thing.
Impeaching him?
Absolutely. For the war. For the war.
Because of the conduct of
the war. Well, he lied. He got us into the war with lies. And, I mean, look at the trouble Bill Clinton got into with something that was totally unimportant, and they tried to impeach him, which was nonsense. And yet Bush got us into this horrible war with lies, by lying, by saying they had weapons of mass destruction, by saying all sorts of things that turned out not to be true.
All right. That's President Trump 11 years ago when he was Citizen Trump saying the Clinton impeachment was wrong and that a Bush impeachment would have been right and that Nancy Pelosi was a great public servant. So what has happened in the 11 years since? David in Atlanta, you have the floor for a moment or two. What's on your mind?
Jim, you know, a lot of Trump supporters are raving about the great stock market. Let me give you an example of what a false market I think it is. After the market closed yesterday, Biogen, a leading researcher in a cure or treatment for Alzheimer's, and there are people listening to this program right now who know family and friends who are going to die of Alzheimer's, and many people will get this. More than 6 million Americans are afflicted by it. Well, in Fortune 500, of the Fortune 500 companies, the average effective tax rate under the Republican-Trump tax cuts is a mere 11%. Most garbage pickup people pay more, have a higher effective tax rate. Biogen is going to spend $5 billion buying their shares back, which will increase the value of the shares, increase the bonuses for executives, and when that money, in my opinion, could be better spent to research a possible cure or treatment for Alzheimer's.
All right. Well, thank you, David. And there is no doubt that the Trump tax plan caused the deficit to soar to record levels and is going to get worse in the next few years. And rich people, in some cases, many cases, pay less in taxes than, as David said, people who pick up garbage. Steve Scalise sent me a note saying, every week I see how patriotic, hardworking people in Louisiana across our great country remain united behind President Trump. And this is Scalise writing to me, even though he says our Republican agenda. I'm not a Republican. I want you to have a strong voice speaking out for your interests. This is from Congressman Scalise. So thank you for the note, Steve Scalise, who voted to not impeach President Donald John Trump this week. And the Democrats have a bit of class envy as well. Last night we heard Elizabeth Warren in a debate attacked Pete Buttigieg for going to a fundraiser in a wine cave of all places. And Buttigieg came back at her hard saying, look, you've got 100 times more money than I do. You've got some nerve attacking me for going out and finding rich people to fund my campaign. How else are campaigns funded in this country right now? On a lighter note, Allison reminds me that tomorrow is National Short Girl Day in America. She says that like domestic cats, short girls are compact, keeping the rest of the population safe. If they were any taller, chaos would erupt and we'd all be hiding from their dangerous wrath. That's why evolution makes pacifists tall. You think giraffes are towers for no reason. Thank you, Allison. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Hope you have a great week as we approach the holiday. We'll be back Monday live and with you and ready to hear from you. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Stay tuned.